My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/donate. Are we headed to a permanent work culture where companies will always switch back and forth between remote and in-person staffing? I'm David Brancaccio. First, in recent days, trucks along the Texas-Mexico border found themselves stuck in long traffic jams, alarming drivers, businesses, and shoppers in Texas. Now the jams are easing. This is a dispute over policy. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with the latest.
Yeah, David, this saga started at the beginning of the month when the Centers for Disease Control said it would ease a COVID-era asylum ban that had kept migrants out of the country. Texas's governor, Greg Abbott, took exception to that, saying it would cause an influx. He put in place additional vehicle inspection requirements at border crossings. He said they were necessary to combat Mexican cartels and illegal activity. Well, soon enough, the additional inspections caused huge traffic jams. Trucks got backed up for miles. Mexican truckers shut down one crossing in protest. And that's when businesses started raising alarms about supply chain problems getting even worse. Throughout all of this, Abbott stuck by his policy, but in the last couple of days, he says he's reached new agreements with neighboring Mexican states that allow him to end the inspections.
Okay, so what are these agreements?
Oh, well, they vary from Mexican states promising to put into place new checkpoints and additional policing to more intelligence gathering between Texas and Mexico. The governor called these agreements historic, but notably a fellow Republican, the state's agriculture commissioner, said they were basically just empty promises. And Abbott hasn't lifted all the border restrictions. Some remain in place at crossings along Texas's 1,200-mile border with Mexico, but the busiest crossings are moving again.
All right, Nova, thank you. Stock and bond markets are closed today for Good Friday. Some European markets are also closed for Easter Monday, but that's a work day for market players here in the U.S. Meanwhile, the Fed's work to tamp down the roaring U.S. economy is taking hold in the form of home loan rates hitting 5% now. 30-year fixed mortgages. Those haven't been this high since 2011. That's the third higher in a year. New Omicron subvariants are spreading, and although health officials say these don't appear to cause more severe illness than previous COVID strains, they could still keep people home from work. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab now looks at how this cycle of it's time to come back to the office, no, never mind, could change business to the core.
At this point in the pandemic, David Hoyne, who owns Kitty Hoyne's, an Irish pub in Syracuse, New York, has had staff out sick during every COVID wave. Two people have called out in the past month.
There isn't any normal anymore. What it is right now is what it is.
To deal with COVID surges, Hoyne is only opening the restaurant 5 days a week. And he sometimes has to pull tables because he just doesn't have enough staff to cover a full dining room. He's hired more people part-time because it gives him more scheduling flexibility when someone calls out. And if all else fails...
Washing dishes sometimes can be very helpful. I mean, wherever the holes are as an owner, that's where you are. Supporting your other staff, you know.
Hoyne has adapted his business to COVID. And after more than 2 years of the pandemic, Nicholas Bloom, an economist at Stanford, says businesses should have long-term plans to deal with waves of sick workers.
We are living in this new world where there's going to be ups and downs. COVID has been so extreme that it's forced society and businesses to completely rethink how they operate.
He says companies already build sick time into their bottom lines. The average worker calls out sick 1 week a year. but he expects that this number has grown during the pandemic. He says workers should be encouraged to use their sick time, and companies should keep a flexible work-from-home policy.
Because then you're ready in case you need to shut down for a month because there's another wave. Or if an individual gets, you know, feels bad, they can stay at home, maybe take 3-4 days off. But then when they're recovering, may be able to work.
Of course, that's not an option for lots of industries. Lindsay Cameron, a professor of management at Wharton, says businesses like restaurants, retail stores, and airlines should keep masks and regular testing a part of their workplace policies.
The more you can sort of keep these protections in place, particularly for individuals who have heavy, you know, face-to-face contact, you know, the more that you're going to affect the bottom line.
She says some businesses might also just have to permanently hire more workers to deal with COVID waves, though there's a downside to this.
Staffing up, like that's going to cost money. Somebody's going to have to pay for these increased costs.
And with inflation perhaps the biggest thing on business owners' minds right now, they're unlikely to want to eat that cost or pass it on to their customers. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our Marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Later this morning, we'll get Federal Reserve numbers on busy American factories. This week, President Biden spoke about boosting the manufacturing sector within the U.S., onshoring, which he argues could help cool down inflation. Onshore production means shorter, less vulnerable supply chains, but does that keep a lid on prices? Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
One of the biggest roadblocks to manufacturing output has been labor supply. Tim Fiore with the Institute for Supply Management says hiring in manufacturing has been picking up over the last few months.
You know, pay's been going up. There's even been talk about people coming out of retirement and going back to work.
Another roadblock for manufacturing has been the congested supply chain. But Fiore says that's been easing up, too.
The transportation sector is showing some signs of improvement. A lot of that likely has to do with the fact that the ports are freeing up a little bit.
But even if domestic manufacturing output continues to increase, we shouldn't expect prices to fall, especially if it means retooling the global supply chain, says Teresa Fort, a professor at Dartmouth College.
Firms have developed these global supply chains precisely in order to find the lowest cost, most productive places.
So Fort says the costs of bringing that production back to the U.S. would make manufactured goods more expensive. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
More now on the move by Tesla boss and inveterate Twitterer Elon Musk to buy Twitter and take it off the stock market to revamp the platform. Twitter stock ended down yesterday, 1.7%, a bet by market players that Musk's take-it-or-leave-it deal will not go through. Analysts are saying the $43 billion offered seems low, and even Musk himself is admitting it's not totally clear where he'll get the money for all of this. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are J.C. Bold and Jessen Dueler. Our intern is Jared Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.